Welcome back to the whole show. We're powered by PDC Energy, and you know we're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Talking more Broncos, Falcons, rough game for the most part. Broncos made it somewhat interesting late, but we're left with a lot of questions. And on the air to help us sort through those, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Zach, my friend, always great to catch up. Well, okay. Wow. Wow, they seem to really like you. You know, second week they didn't know. I think they're all in, Zach. The live studio audience, very happy.
You know, I'm happy to hear that there's still some happiness, even though it's a gloomy day coming off of Broncos' loss.
Oh, boy. And, you know, I thought with 43 seconds there, whatever it was, there's a shot. But I got to tell you, Zach, one of the most frustrating ways to end a football game is got to be when a guy's motioning across the field and it hits his leg and that's it. I mean, that kind of just ended it all as far as the offensive outlook for me. It's like, wow, really? That's how we're wrapping this one up.
Yeah, I mean, didn't that just wrap up the first three quarters of the offense pretty darn well? I mean, just you look away for 1 second and the game's over. All hope is gone. The Broncos tried to bring it back just like they did the week before. But you know what, Brady? Getting down 21 points is not a good way to win in the NFL. And the Broncos are finding that out if they didn't know already.
Zach, let's spend some time. Let's go over to the Vic Fangio side of things. You know, the strange situation there in the first half with foregoing the field goal attempt, calling the timeout, and then punting. Vic, obviously, listening to Tom McMahon on that, special teams coach, and going that route. I know a lot of Broncos fans right off the bat were like, here we go again. Vic kind of has that, you know, clock management, also special teams, when to kick a field goal, when not to. Those issues seem to be keep coming up.
Yeah, and what does not make sense about that is Vic said he wanted to kick the field goal, but then Tom McMahon was the one to, the special teams coordinator was the one to convince him not to. So Vic calls the timeout to think about it because he had a strong urge, is what he said, to kick the field goal. McMahon talked him off of that, but then what doesn't make sense is the CBS broadcast said that Brandon McManus said his range was 68 to 69 yards, and this would have only been a 58-yard field goal. So things just did not add up in that situation right there, because it would have been a 58-yard or something that, you know, a lot of people are confident Brandon McManus makes. But what happens if they don't make that field goal? Well, then the Falcons take over at the 49-yard line, and then they could just hit that 51-yard touchdown that they did just a couple plays later after that. And then if that happens, well, then Vic Fangio is being guessed for, you know, well, if you didn't do that, then you're not down 10-0. So what I didn't like about it, I personally didn't mind the decision to punt there, but I just didn't like how things didn't add up in the reasoning why it didn't happen.
Yeah, saying, hey, I talked to Tom McMahon about it and he went against it. I guess more and more I got to ask the question, Zach, is Vic Fangio just a great coordinator? Is he really a head coach?
Well, and that's a fair question, because obviously you have that yesterday. You had some issues with clock management earlier in the game and now you're looking at a coach who is looking at a losing record for a second straight year. So I think the further this season goes, and boy, there is a daunting stretch of games ahead for the Broncos. And if this losing continues, people will be having the Wade Phillips conversation with him.
Yeah. So what's the question, or where are we in this experiment? You know, you lose to the Falcons, this offense, and doesn't look like it's getting really any better. Obviously, they scored 21 in the fourth, but how much of that was the Falcons, you know, being the Falcons and playing prevent and all that, or was it really Drew Locke, or maybe just some exceptional plays? Jerry Jeudy with that touchdown was phenomenal. Where are we in this? We go the next three games, you lose to the Raiders, you lose a few these games coming down the stretch. Where are you? Are we having those conversations seriously about Vic Fangio? Are we talking about Drew Locke, Pat Shurmur? Or is John Elway content staying the course?
Yeah, all three of those you have to be having the conversation about, and it doesn't look good right now. Broncos sitting at 3-5. They have an opportunity to get back in this year, but it's going to be very tough. Their next two games, the next four games, in fact, are all against playoff teams. The next two against the Raiders and Dolphins, the teams that are ahead of the Broncos in those final two playoff spots. So the Broncos, if they win both of those, they're 5-5. Well, then of course we're not talking about that. We're talking about playoffs. But if the Broncos go 0-4 against four playoff teams, that's not inconceivable at all. They'll be 3-9 heading into the final stretch of the season, and you have to be having those conversations. And then what your season turns into is about finding out exactly what you said. Who is it of those three? Is it all three of those three? Is it Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur, and Drew Locke that aren't getting it done? Is it Pat Shurmur, the one that's not sticking the glue together with these guys? Is it Drew Locke? Is it two of the three? That's what then you have to find out. And right now, it is very clear that Pat Shurmur and Drew Locke just don't seem to be on the same page for the first three quarters of these games. And in fact, Brady, I went back and broke the 20 quarters down that Drew Locke has played this season. So not including the one quarter that he played against Pittsburgh because he didn't get a full quarter in, but he's played in five games, played in 20 quarters of football. In 18 of those quarters, so 90% of those quarters, the Broncos have scored 64 points. That's an average of 14 points per game. The only team that's worse than that is the New York Jets, and you never want to be compared to them.
Wow.
And the other two quarters, of course, the fourth quarter of last week and the fourth quarter of 2 weeks ago when the Broncos put up 21 points in each quarter, they've put up 42 points in just those two quarters. That's, of course, 84 points per game, which would blow any record away and would never be reached again. So you have an offense in these two quarters that is just so explosive and so good, and they did win one of those games. And the other game, I know a lot of people will say, well, it was garbage time because they didn't win, and I get that. But then for 90% of the other quarters, you're the second worst offense in football.
How much of this, and that, those are astonishing numbers, man. I mean, that's just absolutely crazy when you look at the whole idea of the offseason was to add this, to make this offense not score 17 points a game. I mean, that was the whole idea, right? But how much of this do we look at the injuries and, you know, Juwan James and, all, and everything, and that's at the beginning. I mean, how much can we really use as an excuse or can we use any of it as an excuse?
I think on defense you can really use that as an excuse, and I think that was very obvious yesterday. I mean, it was worst case scenario. The Broncos missing over half of their starters, including all of their defensive line, both of their cornerbacks. They're out there with their two top cornerbacks being true rookies going against Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. So I personally do give Vic Fangio a little bit of a break there. It still obviously was not a good defensive display, but that can be used. But the Juwan James, him missing this whole year, that was so long ago that I do think we need to move on from that. And there are other injuries that you can't discount. But look, for the most part, outside of Cortland Sutton, the Broncos have their young nucleus together that John Elway went out this offseason and made sure that he had. He has Jerry Jeudy. He has K.J. Hamler. Of course, there's Drew Locke. Both running backs were healthy yesterday. The right guard, you don't have Graham Glasgow, so that hurts. That can be a little bit of an excuse there. But for the most part, these pieces are there, and they're just not doing anything for the first three quarters of these past two games.
Yeah, and I know so much of that goes to the rushing attack, too, lack thereof, I suppose. You get the terrible news of Albert O. I mean, that it just keeps on coming. But like you said, you tend to look at that more with the defensive side because you do have so many weapons on this offensive side. And Zach, there's just so many things you can look at. We can look at Drew Locke. We can look at Pat Shurmur. But I even got to say this about the run game. Melvin Gordon, just something seems off with him. It just doesn't, in his heyday with the Chargers, he seemed to hit holes much differently than what I'm seeing from his time so far with the Broncos.
Yeah, and it really just seems like Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon are not clicking with Pat Shurmur. It seems like Pat Shurmur is calling their numbers at the wrong time. When you need someone in there for pass protection, you have Phillip Lindsay who then gets plowed over and it's a sack on Drew Locke instead of Melvin Gordon. When you need someone to catch the ball, you have Melvin Gordon or you have Phillip Lindsay in the game when it should be Melvin Gordon and the ball goes right through Phillip Lindsay's hands. When you need to run the ball effectively, you put Melvin Gordon in the game and he's not hitting some open holes that I think everyone in Broncos country is very confident that Phillip Lindsay is going to be able to hit those holes. And this has kind of been this problem has been covered up a little bit in the past two games because Phillip Lindsay has been so good on the ground when he's run. In the past two games before yesterday, he averaged over 10 yards per carry. That is wild. So the issues were covered up by that. But yesterday, when you come out and Phillip Lindsay averages 2.9 yards per carry and Melvin Gordon averages 3 yards per carry, well, then those problems are really brought to the surface. And my biggest thing about these two running backs is, in the very first game, in the first half when Phillip Lindsay was healthy before he got injured, you had those guys on the field at the same time, and that looked like a dangerous formation. I absolutely loved it. They had success doing it, and then we haven't seen it since. Yet Melvin Gordon told us it was going to happen. Phillip Lindsay told us it was going to happen. Pat Shurmur told us it was going to happen. And since those two guys have been back healthy, it hasn't happened. And so it just doesn't make sense that you have these good pieces on offense, and we just don't see him in the running game or the passing game.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. And this, to me, goes back to the beginning. You know, whether you want to talk about Elway's drafting and free agent pickups, where it's a lot of tight ends, it's you know, another an extra star running back, it's a lot of wide receivers. Okay, what kind of offense is that going to be? And then Pat Shurmur, what kind of coordinator does he want to be? Is he old school? Okay, but we're not seeing any of these neato packages that we talked about in the offseason, and that one in particular, Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay. I mean, that was kind of, those were the ideas we were told as Broncos fans. That's where the frustrating and perhaps the big disconnect is from what Elway purchased at the grocery store into to what Pat Shurmur is actually cooking on the field.
Exactly, and that's what's so tough about saying this is all on Pat Shurmur and then coming to the conclusion that you need to move on from Pat Shurmur, whether it's now or whether it's at the end of the season, is then you're just doing the exact same thing again. And, you know, you brought in some pieces. You brought in Graham Glasgow. You brought in Melvin Gordon because it's who Pat Shurmur wanted, fits this scheme. And then if you move on from them, well, you're still stuck with Graham Glasgow and Melvin Gordon and these other guys. And maybe you can use those in a different scheme, but then you just keep moving on and you have all of these different puzzle pieces that don't add up. So that's going to be hard for your next coordinator as well. Now, maybe you can convince yourself that another coordinator can come in here and do a better job. And maybe that's the case because it has been very rough with Pat Shurmur. But at the same time, you're also setting up your next coordinator in a tough position too.
No question about it. I mean, do you, with all the issues that we just outlined, and again, I think we barely scratched the surface, Zach. Do you maybe just close your eyes, hope for the best this year, and say, no, we're going to load it up again. We get to an actual regular season with preseason and all that. We're going to go with Vic. We're going to go with Drew. We're going to go with Pat Shurmur. No matter how bad it gets, we're going to reload this thing with all these guys coming back and just try to get some continuity going forward. I mean, part of me thinks that they might just do that.
Yeah, and as frustrating as it is for Broncos fans to hear that or to hear that they may even be thinking about that, I think it's something that you need to start accepting right now, because unless things go way off the rails and they are at 3-9 and then they go to 3-12, which would be just abysmal, I think if you know they get it to, you know, 6-10 and where it's not, you're not the worst team in the league or one of the worst teams in the league, then they will go that way. And the reason is because I think Vic Fangio is going to stick by Pat Shurmur if everything doesn't go completely off the rails. And I think John Elway is going to stick with Vic Fangio if everything doesn't go off the rails. And so to me, if everything gets pretty bad but not fully off the rails, then maybe you're looking at a new quarterback in Denver, which still is ruining the continuity. But maybe also they see enough from Drew Lock. They see more of these fourth quarter flashes. But in my mind, you need to see more than just 10% of the time, like I detailed to you. You need to see it more than 10% of the time, and that does fall on Pat Shurmur. But I think from the way that Vic Fangio was talking today when we spoke with him an hour ago, you know, he knows how important the continuity is. So I think right now, everything's going to be the same.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with you, my friend. And yeah, you mentioned it. Looking at that schedule, you're at Vegas, home against the Dolphins now, look like they're ready to compete for a playoff spot. The Saints, Chiefs, Panthers battled with the Chiefs yesterday, and then the Bills. I mean, obviously Chargers, Raiders after that, but you said it. This schedule, at one point 3 weeks ago, we're looking at it going, maybe this is the stretch that gets them back. Now I'm not feeling so great about it. Maybe the Raiders game at this stage. So,
right,
boy, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And the Raiders right now, they're 5-3. They're fighting for that playoff spot. They are a playoff team as of now. So, you know, you look at some easier games. Maybe it is against the Raiders, the Panthers. But like you said, Christian McCaffrey looked like he was ready to bring them over a huge upset victory yesterday. Didn't come close or just missed that. But there's no easy games anymore. You know, you're going to look back at yesterday's game and say, That was a 2-6 Falcons team. That was the most winnable game. They didn't have their top or their second best wide receiver in that game. And Broncos, again, the offense does nothing through three quarters.
Yeah, no question. Zach, what are you working on for us, man? Some more Broncos therapy that we can check out at DNVR Broncos.
Man, we need to see what's going on with these Broncos cornerbacks, because I don't care who's on the field for the Raiders. If Bryce Callahan and A.J. Boye aren't out there again, it's going to be rough. But the good news is it looks optimistic. So following those two guys throughout the week, and I'll have you updated on the DNVR.com about that.
I love it, man. Zach, keep up the great work. Love following you on Twitter and reading your stuff. So, yeah, just keep it up, my friend.
Hey, appreciate you, Brady. Really enjoyed being on, man.
All right, dude. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Excellent guy. Makes me feel a little bit better. Colfax, maybe you just got to bite the bullet. You might just need to say, hey, at some point, you can't keep reloading if you're not, because they're already in the rebuild. They never really admit that. Maybe you go that route. I'm not so sure, but Vic still scares me as a head coach. That still bothers me. 21 minutes after the hour, do you want to thank Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service? Services as unique as life. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. 970-330-6824. 21 minutes after the hour. When we come back, we'll get to Clark Johnson of Preps Radio. The Preps Radio Roundup. A little birdie tells me we're going to have three, not one, not two, but three high school football games. Yes, this week. So looking forward to that. We'll be right back. Clark Johnson coming up next.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-six minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the show. Don't forget, we got the UNC Bears preseason special coming up at 3 o'clock. It's our second installment, and we do have news already on that non-conference schedule. So it's kind of why we decided to do a weekly show, because we knew we'd be having updates every single week. Joining me now, Clark Johnson, Clark Numbers Johnson of Preps Radio for our Preps Radio Roundup presented by Weld Community Credit Union. No football for us last week.
That was really weird. What a weird weekend.
Yeah.
COVID came and took both of our games away, and it's so hard to reschedule now fast, in a hurry, get another game on the stick. So
yeah, because times are different. And again, at a radio station, as Colfax knows, I mean, the logs are put in a day or two before sometimes. And so, it's a heck of a process. So we're gonna triple it up, though, I think. A little birdie tells me this
week.
Yeah,
it looks like we're going to go three games this week. So, and we kick it off with a beauty. Thursday in Loveland, Ray Patterson Field will have the Loveland Indians and the Skyline Falcons. 2 years ago, played for the 4A state championship. And here they are in a game where probably only one of them is going to get into the playoffs.
Wow.
So this is
huge.
Really your first playoff game.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
both undefeated, fighting for the conference crown, but of course that doesn't mean anything. Maybe it means something to the kids a little bit, but not an automatic berth. But the winner of that game on Thursday night probably goes to the playoffs, and the loser probably stays home.
That'll be a great way to kick off the weekend, kind of an early weekend type deal.
You bet.
So that, and then Friday, Saturday, what are we looking at there?
Friday night will be District 6 Stadium, Northridge at home. They got a win against Greeley West. They've had a tough season, but got a win over Greeley West, who's 0-5 now.
Mm.
And they will take on number one ranked Roosevelt on Friday night. So Roosevelt's in. They're looking good. They want the one seed all the way. They're nibbling right around one or two in the consensus RPI. So we'll see. But they're in. This will be a walk in the park for them. I don't think there's any chance Northridge can run with them. However, you know, we'll see. That's why they play the games. We'll see what happens.
Never know.
We'll see what happens Friday night.
What about that Saturday?
Saturday's a great one. That's going to be Platte Valley and Eaton.
Wow.
At Eaton High School, 1 o'clock for you. And that one simply is probably one's going to get the four seed, and the winner's going to get the four seed, and the loser could end up with the five seed, which means a difference between going home or away first game on the playoffs schedule.
Man, so some big games, yep. At least Thursday night, Saturday, some big playoff meaning to them.
Yeah, all of these games have some meaning, at least the two on the outset.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, let's talk about the rest of the high school football scene. How about Highland? They're staying alive for that playoff spot. They took care of a team close to my neck of the woods,
right,
in Burlington, Colorado.
28-0, shut them out. Holden Morgan again, the senior, 143 yards, 3 touchdowns. Highland started out 0-2. They played great teams. Lyman, who probably is going to win it all again. And then they lost to Holyoke. That's the tough one that might keep them out of the playoffs. They're number 9 in that consensus poll, so Highland is right on that edge of getting in.
Yeah. How about, okay, so Kate McDaniels, you've been talking about this guy for Platte Valley for quite some time. Tell us a little bit about his huge night.
Oh, boy, what a night. I mean, he probably had the night of the weekend for all of the players out there. Broncos, they start fast. They go out 20-0 over Ray. This was a game that was originally, we were going to have it, Platte Valley and Brush. Brush, due to COVID, had to back out. They put Ray back in their spot. 1A, number 4 team, 48-38 ball game. So, how good is Platte Valley? We'll find out. That's still a good win. And you're talking about Cade McDaniel. He passed for, how about this game? 315 yards throwing, 3 touchdowns. He also ran for .171.
Wow.
That's 486 yards total offense and 4 scores in the ballgame. Cade McDaniel, what a huge, huge weekend.
When you have a player that can do that, you're probably going to win.
Yep. You're probably going to win.
Eaton Reds, you talked about it. We're going to have a huge game coming up on Saturday. They continue to push toward that playoff spot. They handle Severance pretty easily.
Yeah, and Severance had only lost, a couple of ball games, 51-6. Eaton rolls them. 2 100-yard rushers in the ballgame for Eaton. Scotty Grable, the quarterback, goes for .163 and 2 touchdowns. Ethan Flores, just a junior, is tearing it up. 146 yards and 2 touchdowns. The Reds rushed for 400 yards. You rush for 400 in a game, Brady, and you'll probably win.
Probably going to win it. And when you score 51 points. Okay, Rez Christian, talk to us about this. Their fifth consecutive shutout, 42-0 over Berthoud. Nobody scored against them yet?
No. 100 and what is it now, Clark? Read this. 231-0.
Is that going to be some kind of record?
I looked it up, actually. It's happened 5 times.
Seriously?
Where
wow.
Teams have gone the full season, and we're talking 10 or 11 games, and not given up a point. So
wow.
Only the 6th game here. And the who Rez plays next week probably won't score against them. So they're going to go the first 6, get to the playoffs. They're the number 1 team in the state. They're the prohibitive favorite. Everybody's looking. Even Sterling, I think, looks at Rez right now and goes, yep, that's the team to beat.
Clark, tell me this then. When you've seen a couple of these games, you talk to people involved with Resurrection Christian, some of these other teams. Is their defense just that good? Are these offenses they're facing just not that good, or is the truth somewhere in between?
It's somewhere in between.
Yeah.
This is and Jeff Van Winkle, the head football coach at Rez, looked at the schedule and says, boy, RPI-wise, this schedule's not going to help us. Really, the only team that could help them, University, who they slaughtered 47-0, and the other one would have been Eaton, but they moved Eaton out of that conference, so they didn't even play them this year. And so you really got no help, and you can only play who's in front of you. But Rez is right there. They're in the consensus RPI. They're sitting in the top 3. So they're going to get a home game. But, it's hilarious. Nobody can – it's the jury is still out. How good is this team?
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out in the playoffs. But I've been wrong with them every year. I'm going to do it again. They're going to win the title, Brady.
You see that in high school football so often, though, right? You'll see teams.
Yep.
They will dominate for, most of the regular season.
Right.
And then suddenly they hit different opponents in the playoffs or whatever, and it's completely different. But you said it. I mean, Rez Christian, they might be the real deal.
Yeah, it might be. Sometimes it's when you have to come to you don't play guy. The Western Slope teams come over here.
Yeah.
And they just get slaughtered sometimes at the end. So, till they get in the playoffs, you find out exactly what everybody's looking like.
Well, how about this Loveland team? They're eyeing the playoffs. We beat Longmont, another 50-pointer there, 50-21.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, they're champion 2 years ago, and as we said, they'll play Skyline on Thursday night. We'll have it for you on Preps Radio, 6:30, I believe, is that Air Solutions opening kickoff. And it looks like probably both of these teams, well, certainly in any regular year, Skyline undefeated, Loveland undefeated. Both teams will go to the playoffs, and we'll see what happens. Only 8 teams. One of them probably going to get left out.
Wow.
And I can't imagine Loveland gets left out. They're a favorite on Thursday night, but we'll see. We'll see what it looks like for Jeff Mock's club.
Playoffs begin in high school football next weekend. Is that correct, Clark?
Yeah, not this coming weekend.
Right. So we'll get through this weekend of regular season games, and then next weekend we'll be putting our playoff schedule.
We'll start to go to that first round of eight. So,
what's it been like for you?
It's been fun. It's, you know, we haven't had our cozy spot inside some of the press boxes. They're not going to sit out and around. So that kind of brings back a shot from the past when
that's what you and I did all the time.
Yeah,
the press box was like. We thought we were in heaven. I mean, there were times we were on top of the press box, we were hanging from the press box, or we were just sitting next to Grandma there and broadcasting a game.
It's kind of weird. I love sitting next to Grandma too. It's kind of weird when you get to the stadium and there's nobody, you know, in the stands and it's just kind of like a ghost town. Once the game starts, though, it's really just football.
Pay attention to the game.
Yeah, we're just. And you know, if you have limited fans, there you can hear them a little bit. So yeah, it's better than not playing. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, tell us about Weld Community Credit Union sponsoring this segment each and every week.
Yeah, no doubt. Love when the youngsters can learn about finances and make some money at the same time. That's what Weld Community Credit Union is doing with this new Zogo app. 73% of Americans say that finances are a major stressor. Weld Community Credit Union and Zogo are here to help. Download the free app with code WELD and work towards financial freedom. It's right, folks. I mean, you can learn. Get paid for it from baby boomers all the way up. Everyone should learn about personal finance. A chance to do it here. Download and use the Zogo app at no cost with that promo code WELD, all brought to you by Weld Community Credit Union.
Clark, appreciate you, my friend. Looking forward to a busy, busy week of high school football starting on Thursday night.
Thank you, Brady.
All right, 36 minutes after the hour, Colfax, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Hull Show. And we're kind of going to put the finishing touches on this Broncos-Falcons game. Very frustrating for so many reasons. And listen, I'm not saying that this team just gets a pass because of the injuries. I like what Zach Stevens says. It's more like, all right, defensively, sure. I mean, the corners are out. Your top two corners are out. It's a rookie, the next man. I mean, that is a tough spot. But this offense has some serious issues. Dixon texting in. Feels like we're setting the stage for a few more coaches and coordinators to be scapegoats again for Elway. And see, this is where you have to... I'm starting to lean this way where you probably do need to stay the course. Because if this is a young and up-and-coming group, and Jerry Jeudy, K.J. Hamler, I mean, Phillip Lindsay is still young, all your tight ends are young, offensive line, you know, Dalton's young, your center's your rookie... You still have a lot of moving parts here. But Pat Shurmur's got to figure it out. That's the thing. This is why, again, I didn't like the Melvin Gordon pickup for the timing of it. And again, he hasn't ran that well. So if you're going to stay the course, if you're going to go with Dixon, if you're going to go with Pat Shurmur, Dixon. Did I say Dixon? I'm reading another text. If you're going to go that route with Drew Locke, you have to figure out a way to make this click. And this is why I said this from the beginning. Too many weapons, too many identities. Oh, well, at any point we're gonna add, you know, three tight ends. At any point we're gonna spread them out. At any point we're gonna put Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay in at the same time. But you don't have the guys that can do that yet. You're not Patrick Mahomes. You're not this Kansas City offense that's starting to know each other so well. You're seeing a new wrinkle every week. They know each other. I mean, there is something to be said for being around a team every single week and gaining that confidence. The Broncos' final play of the game, they can't even snap the ball. It hits a guy's leg. I'm actually shocked it doesn't happen more often. But that's what I'm saying. Your offense is to the point where everything that could go wrong goes wrong still until late in the game, we're seeing. And it's really been that way for the last several weeks. Going all the way back to the Chiefs game, offense was stagnant, couldn't do anything. You mean to tell me the Panthers' offense is that much better on paper than the Broncos? Everybody's offense just looks so much easier. And this is just confusing to me. You know, Vic said we're going to speed it up this week. Well, didn't really see that until late. The run game was not there. 103 yards, and half of that was from Drew Lock. When he makes up half of your rushing yards, yeah, yikes. You know, Lindsey carried it 8 times. Gordon carried it 6. Just in a bad situation. You know, you got down early, and, you know, Falcons really, they scored that 20 in the first half. You're just, these holes are too difficult to come out of. And now it's Broncos Raiders week, and, you know, listen, I still think that's a winnable game, but who's playing? Who's playing? That's the first question. If A.J. Boye and Bryce Callahan are out, your top two corners, you're not going to win many games. I mean, I get it. Everybody's dealing with injuries, but when do you get to the point where it's finally like, all right, that's probably the season? Because I tell you, the Colts back in Peyton Manning's day, when they lost Manning, they were done. It was toast. I know that the Broncos haven't sustained that big of an injury just yet, but when you lose both of your corners for a game, and it's relatively late in the week when you find that out on both guys, you're not going to win many football games. Yet they lost by a touchdown. It's a tough spot to be in, and it's not really an excuse because Drew Lock still looked bad. Pat Shurmur, his scheme, whatever this is, still looks confusing. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And you have all these weapons. Jerry Jeudy breaks out, so it was cool to see that. You know, 7 receptions, 125 yards, and touchdown. Very happy with him. And like I said, I like KJ Hamler. It's never been a matter of me not liking him. I just thought at the time, at that second round pick, at number, you know, what pick was that? 46 overall, that you'd have, you know, you'd go with more of a need. All right, you got your shiny object in Jerry Jeudy. Go with a need next. Nope, you went with another shiny object. You went with two shiny objects. Where is Hamler going to fit in next year? That's the other question. Because they're looking good, but Cortland Sutton's coming back. So where does he fit? Tim Patrick's looking good. Tim Patrick's been the most consistent receiver on the Broncos. So, again, where does it all work? This is the problem. And you guys think that I'm just up here talking about it, saying these are my issues, my concerns. You throw all these random players at Denver, these random, oh, here's a running back. Here's a couple of tight ends. Here's a lot of wide receivers. Good luck, Drew. It doesn't make sense. There's no identity surrounding this team. We don't know what it is. Defensively, we kind of got it, but again, they're so depleted, it's hard to see it. Good corner play. You're going a lot of man-to-man, and you're blitzing. They trust their guys to play man-to-man, and that's what Vic Fangio is really wanting this defense to become. Tough to do when you lose your best man-to-man defenders in Bryce Callahan and A.J. Boye. So this is it. I mean, this is a scary situation for Broncos country because I don't know that you do make a change. Shurmur has to figure out how to utilize this offense to the best of his ability, or else they're going to continue to be bad, not just this year, but next year too. But at some point, you have to ask the question, when do you stop playing musical chairs with your head coach, your offensive coordinator? When do you stop? When do you give it a real shot? You know, and again, I am very torn on this because I'm seeing great quarterback play. I'm not seeing progression from last year to this year with Drew Lock. 47 minutes after the hour, CRP 4x4 Truck Outfitters. They offer top quality parts and accessories at locations in their location in Greeley, plus serving the surrounding Northern Colorado communities. You can customize your vehicle to reflect your style, your use, and your wants at CRP4x4.com. 47 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break, wrap up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
You're listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick. You're listening to my pal, Brady Hall. Check out The Hall Show on Northern Colorado's football station, 1310 KFKA.
Wow, just 8 minutes left in the, well, in the hour, Colfax. A few minutes here left in the show. Thanks for being with us here today on this Monday. It's a, yes, it's a blue Monday. It's a bummer of a Monday. Anytime the Broncos lose, of course, tough spot. We certainly have questions surrounding surrounding this Broncos team coming up against the Raiders, but also maybe the foreseeable future, too. And that's where the tough one is. All right, Will County Swami texting in. Could it be that we are watching them establish an identity? Of course, they're growing pains. And is that what we're seeing? I mean, you're seeing guys get better. I mean, Jerry Jeudy's getting better. KJ Hamler's getting better. But I don't know that we're seeing them establish an identity. Because I still don't know what that is. I mean, what is the identity? Run it 8 times with Gordon, run it 6 times with Lindsey. I mean, is that the identity? I don't see it. You know, hey, let's make sure Albert O is so involved in this game plan, even though Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler were, you know, these guys, we got to continue to. And again, they did. They started to look more and more at Jerry Jeudy with the 7 receptions, but I don't see an identity. I mean, what is it? What is it? Don't die? I mean, that's what it reminds me of in Big Daddy. Hey, Broncos, I got a 10-year plan. What is it? Don't die? Yeah, because you're not scoring any touchdowns early. There is no identity. Are you a running team? No, but you should be. You're paying a running back $16 million, and Philip Lindsay, we all believe, is a star. Is it a tight set? You know, you value your tight ends? Not really. I mean, sometimes. Or are you airing it out? Hurry up offense. Let's go. Let's send everybody down the field. Let's get after it. It's none of those things because consistently it changes. And that continues to be a big problem. And until they get that right, boy, I just don't know, Colfax. I mean, it really, really is a tough spot. And I hope that Pat Shurmur can take a long look in the mirror here and figure this out. Because I am putting more of the blame today. Now, again, I go back to my same concerns with Elway going to the grocery store and buying things he doesn't need. That's what I feel like with this team. But yesterday, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to what this team's really doing. You know, Vic Fangio said they were going to get into more of a hurry-up style. I didn't really see that till late, when it was too late. So that's what scares me about this group. And listen, now it's Raiders week. Still not out of it. You're still not. You're 3-5. Halfway through the season, and you can say you're still not out of it. All right, go beat the Raiders, and we can start talking again. But you got to have guys come back, and you have to have an offense that wakes up to start this out. You need a lot of help. That's going to do it for us. Don't forget, we'll have the UNC Bears preseason special coming up, presented by First Advantage at 3 o'clock. Myself and Jason Alvin, the voice of the Bears, followed by NoCo Now. And then Monday Night Football. Good night, Northern Colorado.
Good Monday afternoon, everyone. It's time for the Midday Market Report here on the Western Ag Network. I'm Lane Northlund. Well, the reports that Pfizer has a coronavirus vaccine, it's proving effective with the feds, and also the idea of an eventual rebound in food service demand causing the cattle markets to climb higher here today. Monday live cattle futures are pushing higher, led by December, where that contract is up $3.12. Higher at 111.77. February's higher by 257 at 114.72. In the feeder cattle market, January's higher by 477 at 140.77. March is up $4.32 at 139.50. As we look to the box beef prices, they're climbing higher here today, with choice boxes 28 cents higher at 214.60. Select boxes up almost $2, right at 214.60. 14. The bulk of last week's cash cattle trade occurred at midweek, and prices were 107 live to 167 dressed. That's primarily $2 higher, as much as $9 higher in the dressed market. As for the cash markets here on this Monday, it's pretty slow, with folks just looking at show lists coming out here today. Across the nation, pretty good week across the board for the local livestock markets. Feeder cattle range from $2 to $7 higher, while the calf market traded mostly $4 to $8 higher in our local livestock market.